When I was in college, I was fortunate to have a full scholarship for basketball. What was true then is true now. You could either be talented or tall. I was tall. But I was very grateful. I had my room and board, all my books and fees, everything was paid. But I didn't have any money, like spending money. And so I got a job refereeing basketball at the local YMCA for the adult men's basketball leagues. And I then went into counseling for the verbal abuse that I endured from those men. It was rough. It was rough. I was paid $10 a game, and I earned every one of those dollars. I really did. But it did feel nice to have a little money to spend. And over a few weeks, I built up a little bit of money in my pocket. And within a few weeks of that, I went to church. And I didn't know what was on the schedule, but there was a missionary couple there, and they described the country they were serving, the area they were serving, the work they were doing, and I could just instantly tell this was a very genuine, very humble couple, and they really were sacrificial and in what they were doing. It was a calling, and yeah, it was a pleasure that they were really demonstrating. And I felt led to give. And I had, at that time, built my big savings up to $80, which was a lot for a college student at the time. And again, I was missional. I had been on mission trips. I was really trying to be active with my new faith. Which I had gone to church my whole life, but my faith became more personal and I was trying to be more active in it. And yet, I was usually the missionary. And now here's another missionary. And the time in the service where they're asking for financial support. And it was kind of a first for me. But without hesitation, I gave all $80, and the biggest thing I felt was, man, I wish I had $80,000. I'd give all of it. These guys, they deserve it. The work deserves what they are doing, deserves the support of the Lord and us. And it was very freeing for me. It was realizing that, yes, I am to be an ambassador, but one thing an ambassador does is not just go and tell, but also to invest. And there's other ambassadors. It's not just about me. We're a team of people. And what I learned that day is that, you know, money is a tool, and it can be used for good. More than that, I was really starting to understand this concept of that money really wasn't mine. This concept of a Christian that Christ dwells within me. You know, we talk of a kingdom. A kingdom implies a king, and I'm a subject of the king. And really, he owns everything, right? And this idea of he's entrusted some to me, so I really wasn't giving my money, ultimately, spiritually speaking. I was giving back some of the money that the Lord had entrusted to me, giving it back to him. And interestingly, he provided that money by me refereeing basketball games. And then he provided for that missionary couple by having me invest some of the money the Lord had given me through that means to them. And again, it was a very early thing that's been repeated a lot in my life of having this posture in life, not this. I've been this guy, and I'm pretty grumpy when I live like that. Have you noticed that? The happiest people I know live like this. They're not selfish with their time. They're not selfish with their encouragement. They're not selfish with, I say their finances, but you guys know what I mean. And I've shared this before. One blessing of living like this is, versus this, maybe I hold on to a little bit of what I have when I live like this, but it's very hard to give me something when I have this posture. This is a posture of receiving and giving. And we're vessels and stuff just flows through us. And honestly, when we possession, if we take money out of it, we position ourselves to freely receive encouragement. We receive it and it flows out of us. And the more, it's kind of tricky, the more we give doesn't mean the less we have, the more we have. I'm around people like you. I get encouragement continually. I give encouragement. And every time I give encouragement, my bank account of encouragement doesn't go down, it goes up. And this is just a healthy, healthy posture. We're in this series. This is the last sermon. We've been 17 years in this series called Sent. And this idea, and Wayne referenced it in his prayer, of being missional. And the first thing is that we realize we don't represent ourselves and we don't go out in our own strength. You know, people quote the Great Commission, go into all the world, but we learned, you know, that wasn't the last thing Jesus said, as often we hear in sermons. The last thing Jesus said was, wait, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for my Holy Spirit to come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And so we understand that this is what we can't give, what we don't have. And so my first step in being an ambassador is to be a disciple, to be a believer, to be a Christ follower, in that I need to experience him to be able to share him with other people. Scripture is very clear. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, that he is the difference maker. And it's not about me, my persuasion, my creative words. It is about the Lord working through us and him touching people. We looked at identity and who we are. I've given this quiz before. We'll try it again. If this is true of you, you can raise your hand. It's not an auction. You can raise it really high and be bold. You're not buying anything here. Are there any believers in here? All right. Are there any ministers in here? Two. Are there any missionaries in here? We took this quiz once. I gave you the answers. We have some first-time visitors. You absolutely get a free pass. You're not judged. But I'm bringing my full judgment on the people who've been here before. Biblically speaking, if we say we're a Christian church that believes the Bible, every believer is a minister. Every believer is a missionary. Do you guys remember when I asked you these questions? And I even gave you the right answers? Any believers in here? Any ministers in here? Any missionaries in here? Let's go! I'm out of here. That was the end. You guys did great. Don't cheer like you want it to be over. That's the truth. In fact, Scripture says in Ephesians that what they call the fivefold ministry gift of the pastor, teacher, prophet, evangelist, that it says this, whose job it is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. We think we hire a pastor to do the work of the ministry. We hire a youth minister to minister to the youth. Scripturally, we hire people like me to equip the saints. You, now I'm a saint too, so I'm part of it, to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And again, the beauty is, wow, now we're really clicking versus one person and, you know, how smart and creative one person can be and how much they can get done versus 70 or 80 of us. Because we all have the same Holy Spirit. And that, again, my job is not just to do, but to equip. That we all do, because we're all believers. If you're a believer, then you're a minister, you're a missionary. So the identity is a huge thing. And then it says that we would minister, we would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that it starts in Jerusalem. It's a proximity thing. And that you really shouldn't cross the border if you are unwilling to cross the room. And that we have people right by us. We have people under our roof who live with us. And we have to show the love of Christ there first. And it's a matter of simplicity. That a lot of times we just show up. We make ourselves available. We pray. We show encouragement. And then ultimately, we have vulnerability, that the message we share is our story. As it says in Acts, that, you know, the disciples said, we can't help. We cannot help but share what we have seen and heard. That's what a witness in the court of law does. And that's what we do in life. And again, that goes back to, we need to have that relationship with the Lord so that we are personally experiencing some things that we can see and hear so that we can go and share with other people. The big idea for today, again, this is, if you take something away, you're an ambassador on assignment. That's your identity. And ambassadors invest in the mission. And so we are participants. We are actively engaged in this. And that, again, that hints to something that we all squirm about. When we hear investment, we think money. We talk about generosity, like, oh, my Lanta, here comes the money sermon. I got to get a tea time for 10 minutes from now. And I get it. I really do. It is a topic that makes us uncomfortable. And yet, you know, when we look at Scripture and we look at the words of Christ, he talks about money and possessions a lot because it is an indicator how we deal with those things, of how often we deal with spiritual things. And I just want to invite us to think differently, and that ultimately my generosity is not about the church budget. It is important for me because money reveals what I value. And I look at that word value a few years ago, and here's the truth. I spend my time, my money, my effort, my attention on things I value. So I can't say, hey, Jim, I really value our friendship. And Jim says, do you? You never call me. You never text me. I text you. You don't even text me back. That would be very fair, because value can be seen. And in that situation, if that happened, I should say, Jim, you're right. I haven't shown you how much I value you as a friend. And not a shocker, this is some of the rub in marriages, right? Because, you know, the husband says, you know, the wife says, you never tell me you love me. And he says, I told you 50 years ago. Well, on the day we got married, I loved you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. It's like, no. Again, true value can be seen. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ is making his appeal through us. We're not travelers who are just going about, having a good time, taking pictures, seeing the sights. We are ambassadors, realizing this weight of responsibility that we don't just represent ourselves, we're on assignment. And think of it this way. An ambassador first does what the king wants him or her to say and do. They don't make up their own message. They don't have their own agenda. They're on assignment. And again, they represent the king. Second, the ambassador is a steward or a manager. Ultimately, they're not the owner. And so there's this freedom of just doing the king's bidding. And I say things like, well, the money in my bank account, and when I have, you know, again, if I were representing the United States and I was an ambassador to a foreign nation and I had a budget, I wouldn't use that personal language to say, my money. Be like, no, this is government money, right? And as a believer, I look at it, I need to look at it the same way. You know, it's not ultimately about my reputation, my gain. My priorities shift when I think about representing the Lord. And again, what I find is if I'm doing something that would be considered like a ministry activity or a mission trip, I'm very mindful of these things. And yet, I know the Christian life is 24/7 and 365 days a year, and I need to have that same mindset as I'm just moving around the Fredericksburg area, because we do have influence, and what we say, what we do, how we treat people can absolutely reflect Christ. And we know that ultimately God does extraordinary things through ordinary people like us. So here's the first step, I would say. Somebody put it this way. If you want to see revival, anybody here ever pray for revival in this area? Nice, few of you. It's like, I suppose that's not something that you really cheer about and whatever. You're a very distinct crowd. I'm learning this. Here's what somebody said. If you want to see revival, draw a circle on the floor, step inside the circle, and ask God to start a revival inside that circle. It starts with me. It's kind of silly for me to pray for spiritual renewal in the Fredericksburg area if I'm not experiencing that in my own heart. Right? You know, God, light my heart on fire. God, help me to hurt for things that you hurt for. Help me to celebrate the things you celebrate, Lord. And that, again, his priorities would be reflected in me. Evangelist D.L. Moody said this: the world has yet to see a life fully surrendered to God. And then he added this. This is a bold statement. By the grace of God, I will be that man. That's him stepping in that circle and saying, God, come alive in me, Jesus, that people would see you in me. The number one thing that you and I can do for world missions is to more fully surrender your heart to God, that he would become alive in you. That is easily step one. And then in our lives, here's definitely what I've learned. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks a lot louder than your talk talks. It's probably bad English, but I hope you understand me. Talk can be cheap, but boy, my actions have weight. And there's opportunities to practice. I told a few of you, probably shouldn't share this in a sermon. Here I go. I went into Fawn Lake yesterday, and noticed somebody was following me. And he followed me all the way to the HOA, and then he kind of parked behind me and blocked me in and gave me a little verbal lashing about, it started with, the speed limit in this neighborhood is 25, not 35. And part of me in my heart, I'm like, 35, not too bad, you know? I mean, I'm keeping it down. But I wanted to say, who are you, chump? You're not a policeman, you know? And how dare you block me in like this? That's illegal right there. And I thought, no, diffuse. And so I said, yes, sir. Well, he wasn't quite ready for that. I think he was ready for a scrap. I probably disappointed him. Consider yourself reported. So this is probably my last Sunday. Next week, I'm in shackles. What happened to your pastor? He had the audacity to drive 35 in a 25. But that could have really been a salty altercation. All I had to do was respond the way I wanted to. And honestly, I wanted to, like, dude, you're 80 years old. You probably weigh, what, maybe 160? I will choke you. Should I say that out loud? Probably not. Is this why we have some first-time visitors who never come back? I'm so sorry. That was what I thought, not what I did. And that's part of, again, realizing I was representing the Lord in that situation. And I surrendered my rights. I mean, we have so many former military in here. And one word you cannot say in the military to a commanding officer is no. Right? Well, ultimately, I don't have the right to say no to the Lord. Carrie, here's how I want you to respond. No. Yikes. Now, I do say no, and I have to come back and make it right. But again, that's the opportunity that we have. So ultimately, it's this. The Lord is in charge. We're on assignment for him. It's his agenda. It's not mine. I don't get to do what I want to do. In fact, somebody says, just do what comes natural to you. Like, do you know what comes natural to me? It ain't good. I just sit around on the couch and eat chips. That's pretty natural to me. So I introduced this idea of the pit crew that, again, studies show people who are successful being ambassadors, influencing their friends and family for Christ. There were three elements that were common: pray, invite, tell. They prayed for them. Again, I'm only praying for people when I understand I'm on assignment. I'm doing the Lord's bidding. I am going to invest time that I could be watching SportsCenter and ESPN, but I'm going to pray for my neighbors by name. I'm going to pray, God, soften their hearts. God, I pray for Joe. I pray that you give me an opportunity to show the love of Christ. Open his eyes. Lord, open her eyes that she would see how much you love her. That's what salty Christians do. They take the time, because it's not their time, it all belongs to the Lord, and they pray. And then they invite to say, you know what, I am going to attend Fawn Lake Church. I am going to go to this small group. I am going to go to this Bible study. I am going to go to this Christian concert, but I'm not going to go alone. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to show me somebody I could invite along with me. Again, this was the commonality of people who were successful in bringing others into the faith. They prayed for them, they invited them, and then they told them. They looked for opportunities to share verbally what God was doing in their lives. And I think that is absolutely the opportunity that we have, that we take the time to do that because we know it's something the Lord wants us to do. We pray, we invite, we tell, we invest, because that's what the Lord would have us to do. A couple of scriptures, and then I am landing the plane. And by the way, we will have our life group after the service today. And so that is a time not for teaching. It's a time to hear from you, where we have some questions, we discuss, we dissect to say, you know, what is the Lord speaking to your heart? What does being an ambassador look like in your life? And we learn from each other. It's a wonderful thing. So I hope you'll stick around for that. The final thing is just a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to say a prayer for us. Here's part of the connection. Luke chapter 16, verse 11 says this. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? So there is a connection to how I handle wealth and possessions, physical ones, and what I'll be entrusted with spiritually. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. So even my body doesn't belong to me ultimately. Part of the reason I'm so big and buff and chiseled in my mind is I do have this sense of, yeah, I need to take care of my body because ultimately it's not mine. I belong to the Lord. And then Psalm 24, verse 1, and this is a big one. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. He owns everything. And I'll say this, there is freedom in being a manager, and there's a lot of weight in being an owner. And if you've owned a business, you know what I'm talking about. And the manager basically is in a position to just do what they're told. The weight isn't on them, and that's a beautiful thing for us. Ultimately, the weight is on the Lord's shoulders to come through and provide, and not on us. Let me say a prayer for us. Father, thank you that you chose us. Lord, your word is clear. We did not choose you, but you chose us. And Lord, that just makes us feel special and to be the recipients of your love. God, you've also sent us. And Lord, we don't want to just be travelers or tourists. We want to be ambassadors. We want to represent you well. God, we don't want to be consumers, but contributors and investors. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit, that we don't have to do it in our own strength. And we pray each day you would encourage us to come to you and ask to be filled anew with your Holy Spirit, that we would have your strength and your wisdom. You would go before us. God, we surrender our hearts to you. God, help us to be intentional as we seek to be missional, starting in Jerusalem with those around us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who, though he was rich, became poor for our sake. In his name, amen.